prayed that you have revealed your salvation in all the world by sending to us Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh. So we pray you'd enflesh your Word among us here and now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So as we approach the Trinity, how do you approach it? How do you approach mystery? I will not try to explain the inexplicable, but I will try to use the instruments that are appropriate to ask such a question. How is it that God has revealed God's self, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? It's said that the scientific method has tools to answer the questions what and how. Would you agree? And so those tools used to discern the whats and the hows of life are quite excellent and serve us all. Just as a microscope is helpful in helping us understand those things that are beyond our vision, that are microscopic, that are cellular, molecular even. But it would be totally inappropriate to use a microscope to try to describe the stars and the planets. If we used a microscope in that endeavor, we would surmise perhaps that there are no stars and there are no planets. Just as using a telescope to look at a virus would be equally as futile. And so let's get our instruments straight. Let's get our categories straight. And though scientific method answers the what and the how, it does not answer the who and the why. And I believe as we approach the Trinity, if we care to do so, those are the questions that will best serve us. Who? Who is God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? And why? Why in this way has God revealed God's self to us? I use God's self. It sounds a bit awkward, and it's a bit awkward to say, but I believe that God is beyond gender, so to apply him or her, other than in ways that God has revealed God's self in this as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I feel that it's better for me to use that designation. So where do I go? Well, I start with this introduction we had earlier about life in the Eucharist. Isn't life in the Eucharist really creating and developing a worldview? I would say it is. And that Christians have a worldview that will be different from those who do not believe, who do not ascribe power to a higher being, particularly one who is revealed in Jesus Christ as human, who lived and died, who lived as one of us, suffered and died, and we believe has risen and ascended and will come again, to whom we give account, with whom we have fellowship, and from whom we receive power. So this worldview is such an important piece, and I hope that this Sunday of the Trinity, where we focus on the Trinity, we could inform this worldview, this inlook, as we then frame our outlook on life. And that's why I think our ministry to and with children here is so, so important. And the last two Sundays, we've highlighted their beauty and their strength and the service of teachers and coordinators, snack makers and music leaders. It's in developing this worldview, this life in the Eucharist. What a great frame for life. This meal we gather round with people we haven't chosen of all races, nations, languages. We gather for a meal. We're sent out in Jesus' name, and he says, do this in remembrance of me. And as we do that in faith, we find ourselves remembered, put back together as the body of Christ, and then sent out again to do good works. the works that God has given us to do. So I'm going to ask Philip if I can go wireless here. Because as I approach Trinity Sunday, I think, hula hoops. You see the connection, don't you? If I could juggle these, I would. And if anyone can do the hula hoop, are there any gifted hula hoopers? Because, Sharon, are you a gifted hula hooper? No? She thought she was safe in the narthex. I thought that hula hooping, is that a verb? Three at once would sort of give this dynamic expression of the Trinity, at least in my mind. God at work, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I used to think that they were sort of an overlapping thing, and you've probably seen symbols such as this, such as are on my stole, these three intertwined circles as some way to express the life of the Holy Spirit, God the Father, and Jesus the Son. We refer to the first person of the Trinity, the second person of the Trinity, and the third person of the Trinity. But as I've grown in my, I think, growing that world view, that Eucharistic view of life, I see the Trinity as more like this, concentric circles. And where do I want to be? Right here. I want to be in this life. I want to share this life of the triune God. And I believe that's the invitation to us all. In fact, I believe that's what eternal life is sharing in this divine life. So what tools do we use? Well, if anything, three in one is a relationship, is it not? It's a community. And so we join a church. I think that's a powerful way to explore faith and spiritual life, because God is three. God is Trinity. In the beginning, we're told that Adam is created out of the earth, and he's a lifeless being. After God has said, let us make man in our image, this plurality, which is built into who we are, into our very being. Let us create man in our image, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit at creation. We hear also in the first reading that wisdom was there, framing this creation. And then God breathed down, or knelt down, and breathed into the nostrils of this created being, and we're told that Adam became a human being. It was through that spiritual life, that indwelling spirit, that ruach, the breath of God, that we have life. So that's a worldview that I'm submitting to you. And if it's a new worldview, well, please consider it. And you could even take the hula hoops home, if you like, and to ponder this mystery before us today. The reason I've come to think of these circles as concentric, and even using the word circle is just a construct, I realize. But this life, this mystery that I am invited into, that you're invited into, bleeds through as Jesus speaks. The apostle, the follower, disciple, Philip says, show us the Father and that'll be enough for us. That's what he says to Jesus. And Jesus says, don't you know me, Philip, after all this time? And I read it again. Jesus is speaking, and Philip is asking Jesus that Jesus would reveal the Father to them. And Jesus says, don't you know me, Philip, after all this time? And so the Father and Jesus being one, and Jesus says, if you can't believe that proposition, then believe the miracles, believe the good fruit of my ministry. And I would say the same would be true today. If we want people to believe, we invite them into the community and we say, these are some of the things we're about. Not to blow our own horn, but to point to the good works in Christ as a witness to Jesus. So this is an excerpt from John's Gospel, chapter 17. And I believe this same dynamic is at work. It was at work as well in our gospel reading today, when again from John's Gospel, when Jesus is saying, the Spirit whom the Father will send because you can't bear everything right now. He will lead you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. The Spirit will glorify me, Jesus says, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. And so you read through this and you say, wait a second, I need to read that again. Is that what I thought it said? And that's where the circles blend. These are Father, Son, and Holy Spirit working in perfect unity, perfect harmony, and with a clear and perfect purpose. Listen to this and see if you don't hear a similar sort of bleeding through of this mystery. Jesus looked up to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, so that the Son may glorify you. Since you have given him authority over all people, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. That is eternal life, to know this life we have in the Father and the Son. Jesus goes on to say, I glorified you on earth by finishing the work that you gave me to do. Again, those works give witness and testimony to the reality of God in Christ. So now, Father, he continues, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had in your presence before the world existed. And so I believe that on this day, and I'll wrap up because I know we don't have time, but the hula hoops coming back to those, that this working together, this Jesus living this presence of God on earth, is bringing glory, is full of glory. And by doing the will of the Father, Jesus brings glory to the Father. And so we are called to go and do God's will and bring glory. Bring glory to the Father, to bring glory to Jesus, and to bring glory to the Holy Spirit. And so I believe entering into that life in that center of these concentric circles, however you want to see it, is entering into this glory and being called to then go out and spread that glory through loving good works. And that's one of my motivations today, to just offer an anointing for every father today with holy oil, that you would go out and do the works of God in your family with a focus on your family. My son's working. He says, sorry, Dad, I'm working. My other son's out of town, working, and a daughter is in another province, working. But, you know, I said, I need a kid. So I called a goddaughter who has moved out recently from Montreal. She's 28. And so Laura's going to come and join us, and we are going to honor Joanne's dad on this Father's Day with a supper tonight. So I look forward to that. I offer these simple images to a mystery, and I submit them to you. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.